And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. Great to be with you again, folks. I hope you're having a tremendous day. I'll tell you, I am as busy as all get out. I barely have time to think, but I'm really glad to be on with you all right now. You know, we've got this big event coming up on Friday at 12 noon Eastern time, a live streamed event called Stand Against Communism, Stand Against Socialism / Communism. We're going to have Trevor Loudon speaking and Lieutenant Colonel retired Alan West, former Congressman Alan West, the Reverend Rafael Cruz, Claire Lopez is going to be speaking, Jerome Corsi, investigative journalist. Claire Lopez, by the way, in case you haven't heard of Claire, Claire is a 20-year veteran of the CIA as an operations officer. So Claire knows a lot, and she's got some very interesting insights about the degree to which communism has infiltrated our culture and the role that Communist China is playing in that. So it's going to be a very, very interesting event. So we're, you know, putting together studios and making sure all the technical requirements are met. So if you want to be able to watch that, you can go to my Facebook page, E.W. Jackson SR, E.W. Jackson SR. It will be shown there. You can also go to our website, standamerica.us, standamerica.us. And there'll be a lot of organizations that will be showing it on their own websites. We plan to have a list of those available to you here shortly. But yeah, that's preoccupying a lot of my time. And you know something, folks, we started, my organization started this effort to expose socialism as really just communism in a different guise. A year ago, little did I know that we would end up with the coronavirus epidemic, the pandemic, which has now exposed China. And we're now talking about the degree to which China is undermining and seeking to really wage a kind of cold cyber and now maybe biochemical warfare against the United States. And there are a lot of connections between people in our country to Communist China. And so I had no idea that this issue would blow up the way it has. But, you know, God always has a way of being far more ahead of the game than we are. And I'm sure that the Lord saw this coming and put us in a position to really talk about this very, very important issue, which is more important now even than it was, or at least more prominently displayed for all to see than it was when we started talking about it. And you would kind of get little blank stares. Communism, huh? Communism. Well, now I think people are going to be talking about communism quite a bit in the foreseeable future, because Communist China, the Communist Party of China, has thrust it into the forefront of every human being on the face of the earth, because they have generated a worldwide pandemic. And folks, this would not have happened but for a regime that is cloaked in secrecy, that is uses intimidation, denies people fundamental human rights, arrests people and convicts people and incarcerates people and executes people without due process of law of any kind, in which the leader of their country has set himself up as a demigod, Xi Jinping, and has absolute power in Communist China. So we're really seeing the underbelly of the beast now. And I did not expect anything like this to happen. I thought we were going to be on a slow slog trying to get people to be aware of the evils of communism, because everybody thought, or many people thought, once the Soviet Union collapsed, oh, well, we've defeated communism. That's over. That's a dead letter. No, folks, it's really not. We've had 10 people arrested. 9 of those have already been convicted of espionage, all of them in the last 2 years, all of them engaged in espionage in behalf of communist China. All of them. So we have a very, very serious problem in our country right now. And the thing we've got to ferret out now, one of the things we're going to do in this live stream, is to really begin to draw the connections. Because now, you know, this puts Hunter Biden's relationship with communist China, as well as Joe Biden's relationship with them, in a whole new light. Because what they're doing is they're using their considerable financial resources now to buy Americans and to buy influence and to buy encroachment and infiltration into our culture. And when you've got the son of a vice president, you've got the vice president. So this stuff is very, very serious. And in fact, Trevor Loudon was going to talk about the fact that in Virginia, for example, the new American majority and the new Virginia majority, which is an offshoot of the new American majority. Trevor Loudon has evidence that all of that stuff can be traced back to financing and support from communist China. I mean, it is a far left group. And the Communist Party USA, who do you think they're answering to right now? You don't think the Communist Party USA is looking down on CPC, do you? The Communist Party of China. No. You can rest assured, just like they were looking up to the Soviet Union, they're looking up to the Communist Party of China as well. So, and folks, this is why we as Americans have got to be so vigilant, because as a free society, we have vulnerabilities that a society like communist China does not have, because they are closed. You can't get in there. And because they are a racist society, they are a racist government, if you're not Chinese, you're going to be watched anyway. Stephen Mosher spent decades in China, and he said it was not unusual for him to be in a particular city or village and have somebody look at him and say, "Oh, look at the, I don't know what they call them, the white devil, or look at the devil." But in other words, if you weren't Chinese, you were by definition a devil. And so we've got a very serious situation on our hands, folks. So I hope you can tune in, because I think this is going to be a blockbuster of an event. And I think it's going to be seen by a lot of people, not only on Friday, but I think on an ongoing basis, people are going to be looking to it for information that is far more relevant now than I ever expected it to be when we started the Stand Against Communism Coalition a year ago. So that's what's been preoccupying a lot of my time, but it's very relevant to what we're doing right now. Look, aside from that, though, and the whole communist Chinese Wuhan virus issue, there's something else I want to put on the table today, and it is this. It kind of goes back to the same issue, but I'll trace that back. Joe Biden has been accused by this woman, Tara Reid, who was on his staff back in the 1990s. When he was a U.S. senator, she was working on his staff. She has accused him not of just inappropriate behavior, folks. I don't know whether you follow this story, but she's accused him of rape. It is rape. And I won't go into the details on our air, but she's accused him of rape in his Capitol office. And she apparently told a number of people who have corroborated that she did tell them. Her mother apparently called a Larry King show to ask what to do in a situation like that without naming names. But they proved that it was, in fact, Tara Reid's mother. And what I want to talk about is the utter hypocrisy of the left on this when one of their own is accused, and what that tells us about what their true values are. We'll be back in a moment.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson.
Many hospitals in America seem headed for bankruptcy. How could this be, given the need for clinics and hospitals to fight the virus pandemic? The reason is simple. The CDC recommended that healthcare providers postpone elective procedures in order to have the needed capacity to treat COVID-19 patients. If you needed a knee replacement, you had to wait. Everything from hernia repairs to colonoscopies were delayed. Some doctors even paused chemotherapy for less aggressive cancers in order to avoid exposing their patients with suppressed immune systems to the virus. There's just one problem. Hospitals and doctors make most of their income from these elective procedures that the CDC recommended they postpone. The Wall Street Journal reports that hospitals and physicians are now hemorrhaging cash. That revenue stream has dried up, at least for now. In addition to the financial cost is the medical cost of suspending care. Preventive screenings like mammographies and colonoscopies have been canceled. Cancers that would have been found go undetected. Chronic conditions can get worse because regular checkups have been postponed. We may be moving quickly toward telemedicine, but many important diagnoses must be taken place in person. Over the next few weeks, we will be hearing about hospitals filing for bankruptcy and healthcare workers being fired or furloughed. It may seem hard to believe that the doctors, nurses, and medical personnel that we depended on these many weeks will now lose their jobs because of the CDC recommendation. We have been praising these healthcare workers for their stamina and perseverance in the midst of this pandemic. Unfortunately, we may end up rewarding many of them with a pink slip. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
Take Kirby and the Point of View team with you on the go with the Point of View app. Search for Point of View Radio at the Apple or Google Play stores.
Maybe you can relate to this. A lot of people think they're stuck with their health plan. It costs too much, or for whatever reason, they just don't like it. But great news, you are not stuck with it. There is a choice. It's called MediShare, and you could save so much. The typical savings for a family is $500 a month. Major difference maker. This is the affordable alternative to health insurance. And just to give you a little more info about MediShare, it's a Christian healthcare sharing ministry. It's worked beautifully for 26 years, has more than 400,000 members, and they've shared over $3 billion of each other's medical bills. So yes, they can help share your needs too. So you're not stuck. There's an excellent alternative. Whether you're single or married, you got a family, MediShare is super flexible. You can choose an option that works for you and start saving lots of money. You can join anytime. They're great to talk to. No pressure. Call 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
Brian Fisher here. Democrats show an unusual propensity for totalitarianism. The incarceration in place fatwas are killing more people than the coronavirus. New York Mayor Bill de Blasio violates the whole Constitution by going with the police to bust up a funeral for a rabbi. And Joe Biden wants us to believe all women except the one accusing him. Next on Focal Point.
Back to the Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
And we're back. By the way, folks, I got attacked on the internet for something I said on the radio here recently. And let me clarify. Of course, we know that the left doesn't care what the truth is, but for anybody who may have read something, let me clarify. They said, I said that anybody who doesn't blame communist China should be investigated for treason. And that is not what I said. What I said is anybody who is running around giving comfort and cover and aid, in other words, deflecting from China, yeah, to me, that's treasonous because we all know that this thing came from China. Why are you making excuses for them? Why are you apologizing for them? Why, for example, is Bill Gates running around the country saying, oh, blaming China is a distraction. We shouldn't be paying attention to that. We have much more important things to think about. Yeah, like the chips he'd like to install in people's bodies to track them, and like the money he'd like to make off of whatever virus he is able to have invented or to sell on the market. Yeah, that's right, folks. As far as I'm concerned, anybody, and that includes the billionaire Bill Gates, anybody who runs around covering for communist China, given the horror they have inflicted upon our country and the entire world, as far as I am concerned, they need to be investigated. We need to find out, why is this person shilling for this totalitarian communist nation? So just to clarify, I'm not saying everybody's got to run around all the time saying, I blame China, I blame China, I blame China. because there are other things to talk about. No, I'm talking about people who are running around saying, don't blame China, don't blame China, don't blame China. We, you know, that's a distraction. Don't do that. I mean, yeah, okay. Well, maybe we ought to blame you. You know, maybe we ought to be looking into you. But look, let's get back to this issue. And I don't know how much time we'll spend on this, but it's worth noting. You know, Brett Kavanaugh had accusations made against him about things that he had done in high school, okay? Allegations about things he had done in high school. Absolutely no corroborating evidence whatsoever on any of this, and no credible recitation of facts, because when a person says, I don't remember how I got to this place, and I don't remember how I left this place or went somewhere else, but I do remember what happened while I was there, then you got a reason to kind of go, well, wait a minute. But nevertheless, what were we told? A woman who makes an accusation against a man must be believed. Now, folks, it wasn't must have an opportunity to be heard. It wasn't should be listened to. It wasn't should receive our sympathy, our empathy, our concern. No. It was she should be believed, period. Well, then along comes Tara Reid making an accusation that is far more graphic. And like I said, I won't go into the details of it, but far more graphic. Against a sitting United States senator. We're not talking about a high school kid here. A sitting United States senator. And can tell you the details of exactly what was said during the encounter. And exactly what was done during the encounter. Because it was in the senator's Capitol office building. And now we're told... Well, we don't believe her. Wait a minute. I thought that women who make allegations against a man should be believed. Well, no, not now. Not now. So Hillary Clinton has endorsed Joe Biden. Stacey Abrams, the little Georgia communist down there, she's endorsed Joe Biden. And by the way, Stacey Abrams, I just love her reasoning. You know why she's endorsing Joe Biden? She believes him because the New York Times said he's okay. He didn't do it. Well, if the New York Times says he's okay, well, folks, what else do we need to know? I mean, is there anything else to be said? Well, you know what? You know what that tells me? Stacey Abrams ain't exactly the sharpest knife in the drawer. You know, if her standard, given where journalism is today, if her standard is because the New York Times says he didn't do it, that's all I need to know. That's case closed. Okay, then. And Hillary Clinton, you know, Hillary Clinton is going to go down in history as an enabler. You know that? I think that's going to be a big part of her epitaph, a big part of her legacy, as she's an enabler. Because we know what she went through with her husband. Now, here we go with Joe Biden, a very serious allegation. As I said before, this is not inappropriate behavior. This is rape based on the allegation. It is still an allegation. But so I don't know what happened. You don't know what happened. Nobody really knows. The New York Times doesn't know because we weren't there. So we can't know to a certainty. But what we can know is this. The level of rank hypocrisy is staggering. Just staggering. Because the standards now changed. And what that tells you is it has never been about caring for women who have been abused by men. That's never been the issue. The issue was, is, and always will be about power. That's what it's about. So if believing a woman helps you obtain power, yes, we should believe the women. Me too. And not believing the women, or if not believing the woman, will help you obtain power. Well, now, wait a minute. This is one of those situations where we have to be understanding. But, you know, the New York Times has said, and I believe the man. Well, which is it? You know, I've heard this attributed to Chris Plant, and I don't want to claim it for myself as if it's an original thought to me. But I think Chris Plant is the guy who said, you know, if the left, if liberals, if Democrats, I guess, didn't have double standards, they would have no standards at all. And folks, to me, as I said, this brings us right back full circle, because look, Marxism, socialism, communism, that all of that radical leftist ideology is all about one thing. It's about power. It's about obtaining and keeping power over everything and everybody. And whatever serves to facilitate that, you embrace. Whatever serves to undermine that, you reject. And it doesn't matter whether your principles are inconsistent. It's the results that matter. And that's what, folks, that's what makes the left in this country so very dangerous. Because I've said before, we're not talking about people who are card-carrying members of the Communist Party or anything like that. But we're talking about people who have so imbibed and embraced the ideas that in some ways they may be more dangerous than if they were card-carrying members of the Communist Party, because they can insinuate their ideas into everything without ever having to be exposed for who they really are. Godless, atheistic, totalitarian, authoritarian, power-mad people who will use anything and anybody to get their desires fulfilled. And their desire is power. That is the aphrodisiac that moves them. That is the thing that draws them. That is what they lust after, power. And if you help them get it, you're in. And if you don't, you're out. As Tara Mead, Tara Reid, as Tara Reid is now learning. So folks, we are watching unfold in our country right now the rise of a totalitarian mindset, of an amoral mindset that says, by any means necessary, anything goes. Lie, steal, cheat, obfuscate, change standards from one moment to the next if necessary in order to get what you want. And the idea, folks, because of course in the coronavirus, you know, there's a big push now. We got to have mail-in ballots. 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 Why in the world would I entrust such people with a greater opportunity to cheat in an election? Oh, because they're so moral and upright that we don't have to worry about them ever doing anything like that. That's not the experience that we're having with these folks. We'll be back in a moment.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
Back more than 2,000 years ago, a very wise man wrote some very wise words. This is what he said. A word in season, what a help it is. the writer of the book of Proverbs, was indeed a wiser man than we sometimes give him credit for being. The author of Proverbs went on to state that a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver. There are some key words which, if one will genuinely use, will make life much more meaningful. There is the word of humor. Humor is, without a doubt, one of the finest medicines we have. It will cure a multitude of real and imagined ills. It will help calm anger, cool tempers, and remove hatred. One thing is for certain, it's a quality we could use more of in our tension-packed world. Those who have learned to use humor have found it a very good partner. Look at some of the fantastic salaries being given to top comedians these days. There's always in our world a place for humor and anyone who knows how to use it. Then there's the word of appreciation. Most of us have underestimated the real worth of this word. One day I received a note of appreciation from a friend of mine in the morning mail. It didn't take 2 minutes to write that note, and it contained fewer words than an average grocery list. Yet it meant more to me than any other piece of mail I received during that entire month. How often we could show appreciation, and how few are the times we actually do it. Thank you doesn't take 2 seconds to say, and it could last a lifetime. The wise man was correct. Anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down. But a good word makes him glad. There's also the word of encouragement. Sometimes this word of encouragement makes the difference between heaven and hell. I have hit rock bottom in my life many times, only to have someone speak a word of encouragement to me and set me to whistling again. Just to have one person who understands and speaks a word of encouragement often makes all the difference in the world. One reoccurring phrase of Paul's was, "Hold fast." Paul knew well the worth of just a couple of words of encouragement. A word in season, what a help it is. Then there's the word of forgiveness. My guess is that we speak fewer of these than any other kind. This is true not because we need to speak fewer, but because they are often harder to speak. How much we need to follow the example of Christ here. The woman caught in the act of adultery, when brought to Christ, realized the unsurpassed worth of a word of forgiveness. How long has it been since we've spoken a word of forgiveness to one who has wronged us? It would do tremendous good for them and to us to speak it. There is also the word we speak for God. A minister desiring help in finding a job for a convict once wrote me, "God's grace, as I have experienced it, can do great things. And if it did it for me, why not for this man?" You know, the world's waiting to hear a word like that. A word in season, what a help it is. Saying the right word at the right time can truly be one of God's richest blessings. Let me close with a little poem. God wove a web of loveliness, of clouds and stars and birds, but made not anything at all so beautiful as words.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
We're back. The number is 888-589-8840. So folks, I think what's happening across the country is that Americans are starting to feel some sense that this totalitarian, authoritarian impulse on the part of some government officials has nothing to do with their safety and their security. It has much, much more to do with the exercise of power and control over people. And you've got, I don't know whether you all heard this, but the health director for the state of Virginia had the nerve to stand up and say, he thought Virginia would be in phase one for 2 years. 2 years, folks. 2 years. Well, you know, the governor had already locked Virginia down until June 10th. And this guy comes along and says, we're going to be in phase one for 2 years. And, you know, people tried to sort of come up that, well, we're not really sure about the timetable, and tried to clean that up. But the governor was standing right there when he said it. And I believe he said it because he's heard the governor talking this way about how long the lockdown will have to stay in effect. Because they're loving it. They're loving it, folks. And I'm sure you all heard that Mayor de Blasio heard about a funeral for a rather prominent rabbi. And, of course, you know, in many places they banned funerals altogether, which, again, just I won't even get started on that one. But the mayor jumps into his mayoral vehicle and drives to the funeral himself to witness himself, and apparently gets out and tells people, this is when I'm not going to tolerate this. This is a violation of my orders. I'm not going to tolerate this, and people are going to get arrested, and I'm telling my police officers zero tolerance. Yeah, I mean, like some little two-bit dictator. He goes himself to show up and demonstrate his displeasure with the masses who dare gather for the funeral of a rabbi. Now, you know, folks, I can understand the effort to try to get people to comply with the guidelines. I understand that. I really do. I mean, look, if I were in government right now, these guidelines were issued, I'd be doing everything in my power, encouraging people, look, try to follow the guidelines. They'll be helpful. However, I would also know, in the back of my mind, maybe in the forefront of my mind, 99% to 99.1% of the people who get it. Now, I'm not talking about everybody. Of the people who actually get it, get this coronavirus, get infected with it, 99% to 99.9% are going to be fine. You would think that one fact, and that is a fact, folks, that's not Bishop Jackson spinning, that's a fact. Now, here again, we know that if you isolate the elderly as a group, that you get a very different result. If you, here again, as you move up in age, in the 60s and 70s and 80s, I said I call the 60s the high-risk zone, particularly if you have an underlying illness. I call the 70s the danger zone, and I call the 80s the death zone. Now, that doesn't mean anybody who's in their 80s who gets it is going to die. This doesn't mean that, but it means they are at greater risk of death than anybody in any other category. But as you move down the age scale, the risk is lower and lower and lower and lower and lower. And on average, we know that about it's right now, maybe 1%, but some are arguing that it's really considerably less than a fraction of that. You would think that the fact that it has a very low lethality rate would cause some of these government officials to ratchet it back just a little bit, you know, to say, well, okay. And it's not like anybody who gets this thing is going to die. So let's try to be persuasive. Let's try to be encouraging. Let's try to get people to cooperate. But let's not run around like little dictators threatening people with prison and fines. And, you know, you got the pastor of Louisiana down in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. He's got an ankle bracelet on. You know, this guy. I mean, an ankle bracelet on with a $5,000 bail he just paid. It just seems to me that there needs to be some proportionality here. Here again, if this was something, and I said this very early on, again, folks, the number is 888-589-8840, and I'll be taking your calls here momentarily. But I've said this early on. If this thing had, obviously, if it had 100% lethality rate, then obviously we're all locked down, right? And nobody questions it. If it's got a 50%, probably the same is true. 25% probably the same is true. 10% probably the same is true. You know, you got a 1 out of 10 chance. You get this thing, you got a 1 out of 10 chance of actually dying. Okay, all right. Well, you know, that presents a different situation. When you start getting down around the same levels of lethality as the flu, and people tell us, well, it's not the flu. Okay, it's not the flu. But when you start getting down into the 1% and less, you're getting into flu lethality rates. Okay? And at that point, it just seems to me, you know, how about backing off just a little bit and recognizing that people can use common sense, and particularly young people, if they develop these antibodies, they become a stopgap against the virus. They become a help. So there is information out there indicating that this lockdown is the opposite of what we need to do. And people can come to different conclusions about that. But my point is, hey, back off a little bit, huh? I mean, just back off a little bit and let people use some common sense. So some folks protested down in North Carolina, and a bunch of them got arrested down there. And of course, they've got a leftist Democrat in the governorship. And of course, while I'm not saying this is a partisan matter, it does seem that those who lean to the left are far more willing to be very, very heavy-handed in the way that they deal with people on this. So, folks, you know, this little totalitarian impulse that exists in the hearts even of some of our American citizens is a very, very dangerous thing. You know what I think it goes back to? I think it goes back to the perversion of the dominance impulse that God put in man when he said, be fruitful, multiply, have dominion over the earth. God didn't say have dominion over other people, but it got perverted in the sinful heart of human beings, it got perverted. And now take dominion over the earth means I want to dominate you. And folks, that's exactly what our founding fathers understood, exactly what they built our Constitution to resist. Again, the number is 888-589-8840. Thank you all for your patience. Let's come to the lines. We've got William in Oklahoma. William, welcome.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. I just had a question. It seemed like there was some information that Cuomo made an order that any elderly person with the virus would not be denied admission to a nursing home. I was just wondering if there's a follow-up there where I could find that, and I'll just hang up and let you answer.
All right. I appreciate the call, William. Thank you very much. I'm not aware that New York has any policy of denying anybody entrance into a nursing home because they have the virus. I mean, because if they're that elderly and they're that sick, that would be in effect giving them a death sentence. So I think what the nursing homes has done, they've stopped people from visiting. And I think aside from that, I will check specifically on New York. But aside from that, I can't imagine a policy that says if you're elderly and you have the virus, you can't get into a nursing home. I mean, that would kind of defeat the whole purpose of nursing homes. Stand by, folks. We'll be back in a moment.
Every single time that we read a story, we get to step in the shoes of somebody else and walk a mile in their shoes.
This is Focus on the Family Minute, and here's Sarah McKenzie describing one of the many benefits your child receives when you read aloud as a family.
So if we think about this with our kids, we want to prepare them for the world and give them God's heart for the world and help them see that everybody else in the world is an image of God and has this beautiful story. So if we're able to read story after story with our kids, we give them so much practice walking a mile in the shoes of someone else. So that when they're grown and they're getting honked at by someone behind them in the highway.
Does that happen to you too?
Never, never. My husband. Or we're in the grocery store, you see someone sitting on the street corner, you think that person is a child of God and has a story. And we give our kids this opportunity to reach out in that kind of empathetic, compassionate way by giving them practice walking in the shoes of others for miles and miles.
More from Sarah at FamilyMinute.org.
This is Franklin Graham. As news about the coronavirus seems to worsen, many people are feeling overwhelmed, anxious, even fearful. We want to help. At the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, we have a prayer line that's open 24/7. We have staff who would love to speak with you, pray with you. Remember, God loves you.
Call 1-888-388-2683. That's 1-888-388-2683. Or visit billygraham.org.
American Family Radio newscasts are now available as a podcast.
I'm Rusty Pugh.
I'm Steve Jordahl.
Didn't catch the full story? Listen to the podcast.
I'm Chris Woodward.
I'm Chad Groening.
Didn't have the radio on at the top of the hour? Listen to the podcast.
I'm Charlie Bunch.
And I'm Fred Jackson.
Get accurate news from a Christian perspective whenever you want it with the American Family News podcast. You can also sign up for our daily news brief. Visit onenewsnow.com.
The AFA, Marriage, Family, and Life Conference is coming June 25th through the 27th. Experts have lined up to help Christians make a difference in our increasingly wicked culture.
Dr. Alex McFarland.
There was a day when America was thoroughly predisposed to Christianity.
Dr. Michael Brown.
The pro-life consciousness in America is much more of a political and social and cultural and spiritual battle here in America than in other countries.
Bishop E.W. Jackson.
We get so used to seeing this perversion that it becomes normal.
Will and Miki Addison.
There is a first line defense against sex trafficking, and that would be intact families. That would be fathers being present, showing their daughters healthy affection, defending and protecting them.
The Marriage, Family, and Life Conference at Hope Church in Tupelo, June 25th through the 27th, includes a children's track as well. Learn more and register at marriagefamilylife.net.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
Yeah, just check the information for William of Oklahoma about New York policies. Apparently, most states have prohibited nursing homes from denying elderly patients entry because they have been tested positive for coronavirus. So they have to take those patients in. And you all know that the death toll in nursing homes has been quite significant. But I suppose the reason is, and it does make sense to me, if you've got to take care of our elderly. And if the person already has coronavirus, probably better to be in an environment where they are accustomed to dealing with it rather than being in one where a lot of other people could potentially get infected. So, but right now, that seems to be the policy across most states, that you cannot deny entry of an elderly person into a nursing home because they've tested positive for coronavirus. So let's go back to your calls. And we've got Jeff in Texas. Jeff, welcome.
Hello, Bishop. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you for calling.
I just wanted to comment and hear your thoughts. I know you've spoken a lot about how people just need to, you know, not be so scared of this thing and just look at it realistically. There's been a couple videos that have gone viral recently expressing this fact, and they've been removed from popular sites. And one of them in particular is a nurse practitioner from New York City commenting on behalf of a friend. And we got to believe these people when they're telling us these things, almost like in the Bible when the Jews would write things giving credit to women, which would make them look really bad, but they did it anyway because it was the truth. These people are putting videos out there, risking their careers and lives, telling us that they are seeing we are mishandling this virus, and we are actually, the fear that the media is producing is actually causing healthcare workers to treat patients in a manner that they wouldn't mm-hmm. normally treat them because they're so scared of this mm-hmm. virus.
Mm-hmm. Jeff, I'll tell you, it rings true to me because I've seen it. I have seen it. And you're right. We have scared the wits out of people. And, you know, they're saying, well, the economy may not come back because people may be afraid anyway. And I said, well, yeah, after you've sown all this fear into them and you say things are now opening up, sure, there are going to be some people will say, you know what, no, not me. Because here again, you know, emotion and facts and logic are two different things. Logically, what I've just said is true, that we know now that 99% and maybe even more than that of the people who actually contract the virus will be fine. And that about half of those people will have mild to no symptoms. Some, depending upon their age and underlying conditions and so forth, could have more complicated a more complicated experience with it. But most of those people will be fine. You don't hear that, though. You don't hear that. Emotionally, what you hear is, we're all going to die. Emotionally, that's the message that you get. You're right. It's caused people to be irrational. So I can imagine a lot of these healthcare workers going in, dealing with people emotionally, are going to give them pro forma treatment and just be half scared to get near anybody who they even suspect having it. So thank you very much, Dr. Fauci and Dr. Birx and a number of these others who have done nothing, in my view, but sow a lot of fear in the people. So you're absolutely right, Jeff. It rings true to me. Let's go to Joy in Arkansas. Joy, welcome.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you again. I forgot. I got on the radio the other day, and I forgot to ask you, did you ever hear years ago that the communists said they would take us without buying a shot? And they have. They've taken the whole world. It's not nothing to do about a virus. It's all about the communists taking over the world, isn't it?
Well, I really feel like that. Well, if you've read this book by Skousen, I think his name is, the guy who wrote The 5,000-Year Leap, he also wrote a book on communism. In fact, I've got it somewhere here, not too far away from me. But he also wrote a book on communism. And he basically wrote this book, and he did write this book in 1958. And if you read the book and all the things that communism says it wants to accomplish, it has pretty much gotten it all done in half a century. It's exactly what he was saying they wanted to do. You read it and you go, well, wait a minute. It's pretty much all happened. So you're right, Joy, but it's not too late. It's not too late for us to turn the situation around. But part of what we got to do is expose it and not be afraid or ashamed to say it. When we first started our Stand Against Communism Coalition, folks, and we meet every Wednesday at 3 o'clock. If you all are interested in joining with me, email me at ewj@standamerica.us, and we'll send you the call and information. We would get looks from people. Why are you even bringing communism up? Well, given what's happened recently, I think that's changing pretty quickly. So thanks for the call, Joy. Let's go to Buddy in Mississippi. Buddy, welcome.
Thank you, Bishop Jackson. I'm a new caller for this. It's the first time I've called anyone in a long time.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Glad to have you on. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. I just wonder, this is just me. Everyone think about what the Chinese were doing. I believe it was during the year of 2018. They were doing evil things, the Communist Party. In my estimate, I've been to Hong Kong. I've been around the world 3 times as a merchant seaman. And I know things that some people would never believe about the world away from our country. We live in the greatest country that ever was and ever will be, probably.
Amen.
Until the Lord takes over. Now, that will be... I don't know when. No one knows.
We don't know when, but we know it'll be good when it happens.
Amen. There's been death. 60 million babies slaughtered since 73, right?
Yeah.
What about all these cigarettes killings? Friends of mine have died of cancer in the lungs. And then there's also car wrecks, alcohol consumption in excess, and they get out and kill themselves or others. And then there's bullets that the man that comes on later mentioned. These things have been killing people, and people have been dying ever since the beginning of time, even though...
Buddy, I'm running short on time, but I got the point now, and I appreciate you making it, because the point you're making is life is not without risk, and people really are dying all the time. And that's not to be hard-hearted about it or anything like that, but it's simply to say we don't crawl up into a corner in a fetal position and quit life because we know that life has its dangers. We continue to live our lives understanding there are risks out there. Every time we get in our car, we're taking a risk. Every time we walk into a store, there's a risk somebody might walk in there and try to rob it, and something could happen to us in the process. I mean, life is not without risk, but you can't just stop living as a result of the risk. And it's almost as if that's what we're expected to do, just stop living. And we just can't do it. It's had a devastating impact on our economy and opened up the door to a lot of communist ideas that suddenly are on the floor. I mean, Nancy Pelosi thinks now is the time that we need to have a guaranteed income for everyone. All right, thank you. Turn us all into a bunch of slaves to the government. No, thank you. Let's go to James in Indiana. James, welcome.
Hello, Mr. Bishop. How you doing?
I'm doing great, James.
Well, thank you. I understand you're a veteran. When did you serve?
Yes, sir. I served from 1970 to 1973 in the United States Marine Corps. I was an air winger and radar technician.
I don't go quite back that far. So Army, Artillery, 73, 77.
Thank you for your service, sir. Thank you for your service.
Thank you for yours. I just thought about our concerns was not too long ago was a different type of virus, computer viruses that would undermine or infiltrate our financial, our energy grid, our air traffic control, and so forth. Mm-hmm. And we've been attacked by a biological virus. And whether it was accidental or on purpose or whether they were just covering up their pride or decide to let it go on the world and see what would happen, because certainly we wouldn't blame them for it. But I think our enemies, and we have many of them, are looking at how we've reacted to this.
Yep.
And how much money we've spent, and I believe it's the Muslims that say death by 1,000 cuts. And how many times can we afford to pay the Kennedy Center or the Kennedy Center, or how much ice cream somebody needs? But we will never face the battlefield if we're done in by how we react to this, and that we just can't afford it.
Thank you, James.
Wonder that.
Thank you, James. James, I'm running out of time, but listen, James, you are absolutely right. Part of, I think, one of the divisions in our country is those of us who understand that we live in an evil world and there are people who will do supremely evil things to get their way. And those of us who think that the world is just a great place and if you just create the right system, that people will just behave themselves and they'll just do good. You remember if we got rid of all of our nuclear weapons, all the countries of the world would just be so ashamed of and so inspired by our moral example that they would get rid of theirs too. I mean, that's the kind of pie in the sky thinking that you get. Well, the fact of the matter is we have mortal enemies who would see us destroyed, and we can't ignore that. Well, look, since James served in the military and I did too, we took an oath to the Constitution. I want to remind you folks that on Friday, we're going to administer the Citizen's Oath to the Constitution of the United States for anybody who joins us on our live streaming event. I'm excited about that because I believe every patriot would gladly do that, whether they've served in the military or any public office or not. So in the meantime, folks, join us if you can, by the way, for that on Friday. In the meantime, remember, we cannot be defeated if we will not quit. Because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.